You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
11 players on one side, 11 players on the other side, a big piece of grass, a couple of goals and one ball. The aim of the game is to score the most goals in those big looking holes guarded by glove trolls.
He shoots, he scores, goal.
Scoring the goals.
He shoots, he scores, goal.
Scoring the goals.
Hello and welcome to the League Podcast with William Hill. Alex Dunn here, joined online by Pete Farries to look ahead to the best of the Championship action this weekend. Six games to go at in just a moment. How are you, Pete?
I'm fine, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, very good. Very good indeed. Some good stuff last week. Of course, we've had the Cup in the middle as well, which may affect some sides. A few matches that went the distance, if you like, that could affect some teams. Some tricky away legs as well, and they'll have had to travel. Got to factor all that in, haven't you, when you're looking ahead to this weekend's games?
You do. I mean, it's not always going to count, but there are going to be quite a few occasions where teams will have gone out in the week and it would have hurt on the evening, and then 3-4 days later, they'd have gone. Actually, I'd rather have gone out straight away than had to go out on extra time or go through in extra time. Mm. You know, for example, if you look at QPR, for example, at home against Carlisle, even though that Kennedy goal will have hurt them, the fact of the matter is that they played 90 minutes, which they can do Tuesday, Saturday. It's the 120 minutes that not always opposing, but you do, like you say, have to bear it very much in mind when you're framing your bets for the weekend. For example, Barnsley are going to Rochdale this weekend in League One. I know that I'm here to do the Championship, but Barnsley, who played superbly against Everton, we're recording this on the Thursday, so last night, played superbly against them, but went to extra time, and it takes a lot out of you playing a Premier League side as well as a League One team. So 11-10 on Rochdale, for example, this weekend would look very good to me.
Agreed. It was almost nap material for me actually this week. Talking of which, you had a winner last week. Myself and Jack did not. The first losers of the whole season, which isn't bad going, let's be honest. But you had Ipswich race to 2 and landed at a nice price, didn't
they? Yeah, 11-4, yeah. They went 1-0 up, and then there was the equaliser, and then that lovely swept Ryan Fraser goal. So I'll take that for an 11-4, certainly.
Yeah, not bad at all. We'll get to naps shortly, but we'll start with the Friday night game this week. It is Blackburn against Bolton, Friday at 7:45. Blackburn at 10-11, the draw is 12-5, and Bolton in the betting at 3-1. A derby here, Pete, a game that in the past has been a fiercely competitive Premier League game, and now it's between two sides languishing at the bottom of the table. I know it's early doors, but one of these sides could really, really do with a win here.
Yeah. I mean, this isn't a game I would have picked if it wasn't a TV game, Alex, put it that way. Mm. But certainly for me, I think you look at a draw at 12-5. I don't think you can back Blackburn at 10-11. You know, they've got a pretty threadbare squad. I know they've strengthened it a little bit this week, but it's just you can't. I mean, Tom Lawrence is a good signing, but you can't be looking at Blackburn to win a match at 10-11. They've got the first league goal of the season, but how can I look at this game and think anything other than a draw? Really, I don't think Bolton have got it in their makeup to win games at the moment. They haven't got goal scorers. They haven't got a team that's remotely frightening. On the other side of it, neither have Blackburn. Yeah. I mean, this game is just so uninspiring. But of course, there is still money to be made. I mean, for example, one of the bets I do actually really quite like in this is the half-time draw. So first half betting, basically, draw at even money. Yeah. I really like that. And these are going to be two sides who are going to be nervous and aren't exactly scoring enough goals to make you immediately worried on that. Under 2.5 is 4-5. Under 1.5, 12-5. Yeah. So there's all these really interesting, really good-looking markets. But, I mean, I don't want to sound evasive and sound, you know, like I've sort of not done any work this week. But this game, it was just so hard when I was looking at it. I mean, like I say, I think the draw ultimately at 12-5 is the way to play this. But the best bet would be that half-time draw at even money. There's some wonderful bets and some wonderful games across the Championship this week. But this isn't one of them.
No, I think that's probably fair to say. Yeah, I'm with you, to be honest, on that one. I think the draw is the most likely outcome. Couldn't be with the home side at the price. It may be that cards could be a play. That could be something to I don't think there's any markets up on the website right now.
I looked at that.
Yeah, they sometimes come up. On the European podcast, we sometimes say that, you know, obviously recording on a Thursday isn't ideal for Saturday or Sunday's games. These are for Friday, and they're still not there, but they probably will be. And you'd be hard pushed, wouldn't you, to say that you think it'll be a calm game, if you like, cards wise.
I think it'll be two nervous teams, two bitty teams, and I think we'll see some pretty strong, tasty challenges. Yeah, but it's not the market's fault, for example. But I'm not going to back Blackburn at 10-11 right now, am I?
No.
But then, even though Bolton are a big price, they've just scored their first league goal of the season in the 90th minute of the last game. And what, does that make me want to back them at 3-1? No. So where do I land in the end? I land right slap bang middle in the centre for the draw at 12-5.
Yeah, okay.
I really don't want people... That's such a boring opening to the podcast, but it's just not a game that inspires, is it, particularly?
No, not in the slightest. And it is televised for the reasons that it is a derby and there are two sides that used to be good, but they're not really very good anymore, are they? With all due respect to them, they're not going to get promoted, put it that way, are they?
No, I'd
be very surprised. But, okay, so the draw, the pick there, but the half-time draw, even money, probably the best bet.
Yeah, I do like that, yeah.
Okay, next up is Derby against Leeds, Saturday at 12:05, the lunchtime kickoff here. Derby are 8-13, the draw 14-5 in Leeds and 9-2. Another televised game for Leeds. Their fans will be pleased. They've got to see them quite a bit. And they've made a promising enough start to the season without being fantastic. Derby, on the other hand, up and down. They'll have expected a bit more from their side than what they've seen so far, but they things might just be beginning to click. They've got to get over, of course, the loss of Will Hughes. He's out for a while. But 8-13 on Derby, pretty short here, Pete, I've got to say. That said, you'd be hard-pushed to say that they're not the most likely winners.
I mean, I understand the 8-13 more than I understand the previous 10-11. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I don't want to back the 8-13. Why would I? Derby have drawn every game this season. Leeds have drawn every game this season. You know, I don't want to go against Leeds, particularly against Derby. I mean, Derby's injury woes, barring Will Hughes, are starting to get a bit better. They've got a few players who are coming back to fitness. You've got Chris Martin, obviously, who's starting to look sharper. But the last time Leeds and Derby played each other, Chris Martin was kicked out of the game. I don't know if you remember, he was completely obliterated throughout the match and didn't do anything. And at the moment, it looks to me like if Chris Martin's not doing anything, Derby aren't really going to do anything. Now, I know we've had, for example, back-to-back goals from Johnny Russell, so you could say, well, Pete, Johnny Russell's been scoring. But it's not about just the goals, it's about what he can contribute in terms of building up to them. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So, anytime Johnny Russell is 7-5, that's not a bad-looking bet considering he scored in back-to-back games, is it? I mean, in the same way as looking at Chris Wood. I mean, Chris Wood is 13-5 anytime, and he scored in back-to-back games and is the main, you'd argue, striker for Leeds. Mm. So, of the two, again, even though Johnny Russell's not a striker, the argument is that the better of the two goal scorer bets is probably Chris Wood. So you could look at it that way. I mean, we've had three both teams to score draws for Leeds so far. Sheffield Wednesday, which is that incredible Marco Matthias goal. Bristol City and Burnley. On the Derby side of things, we've had three of four as well. So why would you not look at both teams to score at 19-20? Mm-hmm. It might be that you want to look at match result on both teams to score at 18-5. But I'm going on a... Well, I'll put it this way. I got a tweet, obviously, the other day, didn't I, last week, about constantly backing Leeds. Now, I wouldn't have spoken about Leeds in two or three of those games if they weren't TV games, because I think they're still a team that are progressing and growing. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying Leeds win this game, but, again, as I've said from the start, I mean, I can't back Derby. Certainly can't back Derby at 8-13, Alex. Could you?
No, I couldn't. We said a couple of weeks ago, didn't we, that when they were a similar price at home to Charlton, it was more that you didn't want to be with Derby than you massively wanted to be with Charlton on that occasion. I know Charlton are playing quite well at the minute. And it was similar story for Leeds here, I think. Leeds are too big. I also don't understand why the draw at 14-5 is the biggest price on any draw in the Championship.
It really is, yeah.
When you've had four...
Well...
Both sides have drawn four games. It's understandable in that, you know, Derby are the shortest price favourites of the weekend, but I don't think they're justified in that position.
No, they're not. They are absolutely not.
And the draw is a pretty ludicrous price, really, at 14-5. I'm surprised the traders haven't reacted
Yeah.
I'd expect that to be one of the shortest priced ones, purely on the likelihood of it landing.
Absolutely.
You know?
But also, Derby haven't had the lead in a league game this season.
Mm-hmm.
They drew 0-0 with Bolton. They went behind against Charlton, equalised. They went behind against Borough, equalised. They went behind against Birmingham, equalised. So not only is that 8-13 on a team who've not won yet, it's an 8-13 on a team who haven't taken the lead in a league game yet.
Yeah.
I can't back that.
No.
But what I can back from what I've just said is come from behind and win or draw at 4-1. You could look at a bet that's landed three games in a row for Derby to come from behind and draw 9-1.
Wow.
You know?
Yeah, not bad, is it?
And you look at Leeds in terms of their games. I mean, they took the lead against Burnley, drew. Okay, 0-0 against Reading. They took the lead against Bristol City, drew. And okay, they had to come from behind. But that 9-1 has also landed in two of the four Leeds draws this season for the opponent. So you could look at that 9-1. But for me, the best bet is Leeds plus a goal at 6-4.
Yeah.
I think it's such a good looking... Sorry, 6-5 now, 6-4 last night. It is such a good looking 6-5, that, to me. Because you're getting Leeds to win, you're getting Leeds to draw. There's been 8 draws in total in these two matches so far. Derby don't look like winning, but then Leeds are struggling to see it over the line. I think those are the ways to play this. For me, it's a very strangely priced game.
Yeah. Okay. My computer's just being a bit temperamental, Pete. Is there a price there of Leeds plus 2?
4-11.
Short, isn't it? But
yeah.
No, I just think I was hoping that we'd be somewhere near the price that Derby are to win, you know,
of the
two shorties, but they are quite a way apart in terms of price. But
Anyway.
Right, so best bet, Leeds plus a goal?
Yeah.
Okay.
Although do consider that come from behind and win or come from behind and draw for Derby. The come from behind and draw is 9-1. The other one is 4s.
Okay. Ipswich Brighton is the next game that we're going to look at. We're into the 3 o'clock games now on Saturday. Ipswich are 23-20. The draw is 23-10, and Brighton are 12-5. Brighton have started the season really well. Remain in second. Ipswich are top as things stand. Two sides who've impressed with the way that they've played. Maybe two sides that weren't quite expecting to be quite as high as this. Ipswich will have had their sights on promotion. But Brighton were disappointing last year, Pete, as far as I'm concerned. And they've started well so far under Chris Hughton, based on a solid defence. Can they shut Ipswich out at Portman Road?
Well, the first thing you've got to say is Ipswich obviously played 120 in the week, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
One all at the end at the key moat, and they went on to bang three, didn't they? McGoldrick, Fraser, and Alibi. So you look at that and you go...
Is that how you have to say his name, by the way?
Alibi. yeah, I think that's how you've got to warm up. It's got to be like a Greg Rutherford-style run towards it. but... This is an interesting one, because despite playing 120 minutes, and as good as Brighton are, I mean, Brighton obviously lost in the week at, you know, normal time. I don't think that's a big stress for Brighton. You've got to look at this and go, well, you don't want to back against the Mick McCarthy Ipswich at home, really, in the Championship, do you?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the teams who went there last season, and when we did this, I think, last week, didn't we? Reading, Derby, and Norwich, and that's it. That is it. And, of course, that Norwich game was a derby, and, of course, that Norwich game was the first home game of the season for Ipswich. So all of that is a little bit kind of, well, how do I back against them? The way that Ipswich are scoring goals. I mean, this is how we landed the race to two last week, wasn't it? They've been scoring 2 goals in every game, 2 against Brentford, 2 against Wednesday, 2 against Burnley, 2 against Preston. And Brighton, as much as they've looked incredibly tight and incredibly good and incredibly like a Chris Hughton side,
yeah.
Truth be told, the teams they've played so far, I don't want to be down as such on what Brighton have done, but Ipswich have played a very decent Brentford side, a Wednesday side who started the season very well, a Burnley who've looked okay but have come down, and a Preston. So for me, the four teams they've played, in comparison to Brighton's games, which have been Forest, Fulham, Huddersfield and Blackburn. I expect probably Blackburn and Huddersfield to be fighting relegation this season. Forest aren't going to do anything, you know?
Yeah, well, I mean, I know it's early doors in the season, and obviously, with Brighton being at the top, and having a good record, then the teams that they have played are going to be, you know, quite far down. But Huddersfield, Fulham, Blackburn, currently 20th, 21st, and 22nd. As I said, it doesn't mean a great deal at this stage, but they are three sides. I mean, we thought Fulham could do something before the start of the season. I even napped them last week, but I'm beginning to lose faith with them already. Blackburn, we've already mentioned, are fairly average, and Huddersfield, I think, are really poor. So, in terms of the quality of the form, Ipswich have got this in spades, haven't they? But, like you said, Chris Hughton can make his teams very, very hard to break down away from home. And it'll be a real test, this for Ipswich. Yes. That said, odds against, are you tempted?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
23-20, I am happy to take that. I mean, there are some other bets, of course, you could play if you don't want to play... if you don't want to play the outright victory for either team, because Engeloir Loire, who's been in really good goal-scoring form for Brighton so far this season, I mean, this is a guy sitting in the market at 14-5 anytime. 14-5 anytime for a guy who scored 3 goals in a possible 6 so far is a pretty decent... is a pretty decent price. I think we can all agree. I mean, and on Ipswich's side, you know, you've got some players who are looking very, very handy. But Brett Pittman's been in really good goal-scoring form. You could look at Goldrick, they both scored 2 and 3. I mean, again, good prices on these guys. McGoldrick 17-10, Brett Pittman 9-5. Both really good prices. But I'm going the same place I went last week. Race the 2 goals.
Okay.
Not quite as big. 8-5, mm-hmm. Race the 2 goals. Again, Ipswich have done it every single game they've played this season.
Yeah.
Every single one. Brighton conceded 2 against Walsall in the week. I mean, I appreciate that that's Walsall. I appreciate that's away from home as well. I appreciate that's the Cup. And I appreciate the second goal came very late. But I still think that 8-5 for Race to 2, something that Ipswich have done every single game so far this season, is very, very decent value. It's a cracking game, this. But I would stay with Ipswich. Mick McCarthy has done wonders. I mean, he sold Tyrone Mings for a huge amount of money and got Brett Pittman and got Fraser.
Mm.
I mean, that's incredible work. It's incredible work. Last season, Ipswich were one of the few teams in the league whose books, I believe, I'll double-check this, but whose books complied 100% to the financial fair play. They barely spent a penny, and yet they did what they did last season.
Yeah,
it's incredible. He's such a good manager at this level. And Chris Hughton's a good manager and a lovely man. He used to ask about my grandma when I used to interview him. But he is, at the moment, he's got a good Brighton side, but I don't know that they've had a test. In fact, I do know. They haven't had a test like Ipswich so far, and I just think they may come up short in this one. If this was at Brighton, different story.
Mm. But it isn't.
It is not.
It is not. It's at Portman Road, and Ipswich are the pick in that one. Right, we've got Huddersfield against QPR, the next game. Huddersfield 8-5, the draw 23-10. QPR at 17-10. Huddersfield, we already touched on as being fairly average so far. 3-1-all draws in a row after opening their defeat at Hull. They could really do with a win, but coming up against a QPR side who lost at Charlton, and since then, they may have chucked it away a little bit against Cardiff, but they've had 2 decent wins since then. They're scoring a lot of goals. They're also letting in a lot of goals. Surely here, Pete, as far as I'm concerned, they're just going to outscore Huddersfield, if nothing else. But I should say, we're recording this, as we said, on the Thursday, with the transfer window coming around. Charlie Austin, you know, you'd like him to play if you're a QPR fan or if you've backed them. Maybe just wait till the day of the game to have a bet, because that would alter things quite a bit. But how do you see this one going?
Well, again, first things first, QPR played 90 minutes and got done. But again, it's 90. It's not 120, at the risk of yet again sounding like a moron. But look at their game so far, QPR. They started with a 2-0 loss away at Charlton, and Clint Hill on the Football League programme was saying, yeah, that wasn't good enough. Then they hit 3 past Yeovil. They drew 2-2. There was a 5-goal game against Wolves, which they won. There was a 6-goal game against Rotherham, which they won. And there was a 3-goal game against Carlisle. Now, I know that Huddersfield's games so far this season in the league have all been unders. Their League Cup loss to Notts County was overs. But we've had a 2-0, a 1-1, a 1-1, and a 1-1. So I thought, right, well... Okay, but the one alls, it's not like the unders have been 0-0 or 1-0. They've been both teams to score in, haven't they, all over the place?
Mm.
So first and foremost, it was okay. Both teams to score then. Let's have a look at that price. 4-6, fair enough. The over 2.5, 10-11. The over 3.5 is what really caught my eye, though. 12-5 for over 3.5,
okay.
Alex. Because again, look, that would have landed in three of the five last games that QPR have played. Now, if you're looking at just a league, obviously, it's 3 of 4. 2-0, 2-2, 3-2, 4-2.
Yep.
12-5. That's a decent-looking bet.
Mm.
That's a decent-looking price and a decent-looking bet. But I am siding with QPR here. While Charlie Austin is still at the club, and at the moment, it doesn't appear that he's going anywhere.
No.
Which is interesting. he's 13-10 any time. I mean, the guy was in the, you know, he was player of the week, wasn't he, last week? He bagged, he looked absolutely frightening. And 13-10 is a good-looking bet. Huddersfield have played slightly better than their results would suggest. I mean, they got done last minute against Fulham. They played quite well, reportedly, against Brighton in that 1-1 draw as well. And Huddersfield have created good chances. Now, you could look at Naki Wells if you want to. He's scored 2 goals this season, 6-4 any time. Jacob Butterfield's had a couple of long ranges. He loves the long ranger, does Jacob Butterfield. He's had a couple saved from long distance, but the guy is getting closer and closer to bagging one of them. He's 16-5. But QPR on both teams to score is ultimately where I went with this. QPR on both teams to score is 4-1.
Massive price.
It's a huge one. It's a huge price because, again, look at the bets here. 4-2, 3-2. It's landed in the last 2 games for QPR. The other thing to say is, have a little look down the QPR goal scorers, yeah? Have a little look across the actual sides that these two can put out. Mm. And then look at the headline offer, because the headline offer is Charlie Adam to score and QPR to win. He doesn't play for QPR.
No, he'll struggle to score, I think.
Yeah. I mean, if he does do that, I'd want more than 4-1. Because we're at the West Oakar this weekend, but he can hit the ball hard, so it could theoretically happen, I suppose. I believe that will be Charlie Austin. I'm sure that someone at Hills will have a little look at that before it goes live at 3 o'clock on Saturday. But that's meant to be Charlie Austin, and I really like that. 4-1.
Well, you often get, not that QPR are a one-man team, because they're not, but we mentioned this on the other podcast, the other league podcast, for Leagues 1 and 2. You get teams who are very dependent on one player scoring goals, and it becomes, if they're going to win, it is so likely that that person will score. You're almost doubling your, well, more than doubling your price on QPR. I mean, for example, this weekend, a man who I've got a bit of a love affair with at the minute, Billy Painter for Hartlepool. Hartlepool 11-10 at home to Carlisle. But the headline offers 7-2 for Painter to score and a Hartlepool win. And it just doesn't really make sense.
No.
Because if they win, and it isn't if, it's that they're not banker material, if they win, it is more than likely that he's going to have to score at some point. So there's quite a few teams like that this year. And if you do like your goal scorer bets, rather than backing them any time, I think it's probably more profitable to back them in those kind of headline offers and things like that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, it's meant to be Charlie Austin, so
yes.
That'll obviously, I'm sure, get changed very soon. I'm sure that, in fact, you could probably have a word with someone about that.
Oh, I'm not that important, but I'll do my best.
But yeah, I mean, that for me is probably the best bet of the game.
Right. Yep.
So when it becomes Charlie Austin.
Yeah. While it's Charlie Adam, not a bet. But
yeah, while it's Charlie Adam, give me 4,000 to 4,000,000 to 1, and I'll give it a go.
Okay. The penultimate game we're going to look at is Brentford against Reading. Brentford are 23-20. The draw 12-5. Reading are 23-10. Brentford, of course, who stole an equaliser on the first day of the season, then won Bristol City 4-2 in an entertaining game, and then fell at Burnley last time that we saw them. Coming up against Reading, who've drawn 3 out of their 4 so far, have looked fairly average, I think it's fair to say, as well, Pete. Brentford at odds against tempted me here.
Yeah, Brentford at odds against really sort of excites me as well, Alex, because you look at who Brentford have played. They've played, first of all, 3 games, so they've played a little bit of less football, but they drew against Ipswich in brilliant circumstances, 2-0 down, bagged twice in the last minute. They've been to Burnley, which is a difficult place to go, and narrowly lost, but I can let them off for that. And I know they had to be playing against 10 men against Bristol City in order to win, 2-1 down, of course, before Freeman was sent off, then Judge, Gray, Hoffman, and they were laughing. But Reading have got nothing at the moment, and I've read up loads this week about Reading, because they're a club that's really interested me. I mean, this is a Premier League club a couple of years ago, and they, like a few other former Premier League clubs, Bolton, for example, Blackburn as well, just loads of them who are obviously in the Championship, they're really suffering to find their identity and struggling to find their identity at the moment and what they need to do and what they want to do. I mean, they went to Birmingham and lost, but we know under Gary Rowett that's not a great surprise, because Birmingham's home form is brilliant. They drew 0-0 with Leeds in a game where not a great deal happened. They got hit in the last minute against Sheffield Wednesday for the draw, and then they've been and drawn with MK Dons. So 3 draws and a loss from 4. against a side that, yeah, I know have drawn, won and lost, but Brentford just look like the play here. Mm. They really do. Andre Gray, of course, has departed now, which is maybe a little bit of a hit, but I completely forgot that Brentford had signed Philipp Hoffmann, the German under-21 striker. Has scored for them as well. He's 6-4, which is a really good sign. I mean, don't forget, he did score in that win over Bristol City as well. And just every part of me wants to avoid backing Reading. Yeah, so Philipp Hoffmann headline offer, 4-1, Hoffmann to score, Brentford to win. It's a brilliant-looking bet. Reading don't really get beaten by more than a goal. There was the 3-2 to Charlton, but that's still by a goal. Then Bournemouth by a goal. Birmingham by a goal. Brentford went to the Medeski last year and won 2-0, okay. But then this season, Birmingham by a goal, 3 draws. My favourite way of playing this is I do think Brentford are going to win, but if they're going to win, I only think they do it by a goal. Mm. So Brentford -1, Reading +1 is 3-1. I do really like that bet, but at the moment, Reading are unbackable.
Yep, I would agree with you on that one. Brentford the pick in that one, and the final game is Rotherham against Fulham. Rotherham 11-8, the draw 12-5, and Fulham are 19-10. Rotherham have really struggled so far and sit bottom of the table as things stand, but Fulham haven't had it much better, if we're being honest. We thought that they could make a potential, you know, we could certainly make a case for them to get promoted at the start of the season. Does that stand, Pete?
I can't touch Rotherham with any kind of pole, barge or otherwise. They've got a brand new back line from the beginning of this season. That back line conceded 4 at home against MK Dons, 4 away at QPR. They lost 2-1 at the moment, an unconvincing Nottingham Forest side, and they drew 0-0 with the Preston North End side, who haven't really been scoring goals and don't at the moment have a fit, recognised striker. Fulham, on the other hand, if you look at Fulham, they, okay, drew last minute against Huddersfield, but they've lost at Hull, who, you know, haven't had the best start to the season in the world, but, you know, still fifth and will be there or thereabouts for a playoff place. They've lost to Brighton, who was second, and they did that in the and they lost in the 90th minute to Brighton, may I add, as well. And they've drawn with Cardiff, which wasn't brilliant. There is one bet that's nothing to do with outrights that is well worth looking at here, though. So look towards look towards the game against MK Dons for Rotherham. A 75th minute goal, a 61st minute goal. Neither of those are giving you a late goal, really, are they? And then, you know, the 88th and the 90th minute against QPR. But look at Fulham's games. 86th minute goal, 90th minute goal, 86th minute goal, 90th minute goal. Mm. Late goals are either saving them or killing them at the moment. But those are, I'm talking 86 to full time. So the 76 to full time is 11-10. But with the amount of times it's landed in Fulham games so far, 81st minute to full time is 13-8.
Is that just for there to be a goal?
Just to be any goal.
Okay.
So any match goal for either team, doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Just a goal in that period. Again, let me just repeat Fulham's games. Every single game this season, 86, 90, 86, 90. Mm-hmm. I mean, to be fair, by that pattern, you'd back 86 again. But this is the thing. For me, Fulham have still got more available. You know, Ross McCormack, they've got Tom Cairney, who's bagged twice. McCormack, by the way, part of the headline offer. They've got, you know, Corley Woodrow, who scored the other day. I mean, Moussa Dembélé, you wouldn't be saying he's going to score you loads of goals, but does create problems at times. So all of this, as opposed to what Rotherham have got, which is Matt Derbyshire, Chris Maguire, Danny Ward, Jordan Bowery, Jonathan Clark-Harris, Emmanuel Ledesma, who are probably the most likely. Mm. I mean, even if Fulham aren't playing brilliantly, Rotherham's back line is just leaking goals all over the place. I know they're the 0-0 at Preston, but other than that, 2-4-4. And you've got players who can score for Fulham. Where I don't know that you have for Rotherham, really. Not really. So the other way to play this is a Fulham race to 2, which, again, I really, really like here. 11-5 Fulham race to 2. I know it's something they haven't achieved this season yet, scoring twice in a game, but MK Dons hit 4 past Rotherham, QPR hit 4 past Rotherham, Forest hit 2 past Rotherham. I mean, I don't think we're expecting Forest to be ripping teams apart and scoring tons of goals at the moment, certainly not until Britt Assombalonga comes back. Mm. But I mean, look at Forest, for example. The only time in the league, I reiterate in the league, they've scored twice this season was against Rotherham. Mm. Other than that, they didn't do it against Charlton, didn't do it against Bolton, didn't do it against Brighton. So if a team like Forest, who isn't doing it, can do it against Rotherham, I think Fulham can do it against Rotherham. So 11-5, race the 2 Fulham, is the other way in against the Millers, who I think are going to be in for a horrible time this season.
Okay. Rotherham certainly a side that we'll be keen to be against, I'd imagine, in weeks to come as well, because they haven't impressed so far. Okay, so we're with Fulham there, and it's time to talk Naps, Pete. I'm yet to record the League One and Two podcast, so we don't know what Jason Lewis fancies in that one. Jason is now back as well. Jack Critchley's done a sterling job,
but
Jason is back from his little break. So we'll hear what he has to say on the other podcast. I'm going to weigh in with Plymouth minus a goal in League Two. They're at home to Newport, who I think are pretty poor, and Plymouth score a lot of goals at home. That one's 9-5. What are you going for in the Championship, Pete?
I really like the Ipswich bets I put up, but because they're playing a really good side, I'm going to sidestep that a little bit. And I am going to play here Fulham. I was thinking about the race to two at 11-5, but I'm going to go slightly more conservative because it's a nap, and I'm going to go draw no bet Fulham. You are, of course, for your draw no bet, getting your money back if it's a draw, if that's how it works. My shortest nap of the season so far, but I do get the draw safety in there with me. 21-20 Fulham draw no bet. I can't see, personally, I just can't see how Rotherham have got the goals to beat Fulham.
No, it's certainly hard to see Fulham losing that game, and the fact you're getting odds against with a bit of insurance, not bad at all. So Fulham the nap for Pete, Plymouth minus a goal for me. We'll have to see what Jason fancies in just a bit. That podcast is also available on the William Hill Audio Moon page and the 72.co.uk, the playlist there. But I've been Alex Dunn, you have been Pete Farries. Say goodbye.
And we'll continue to be so, actually,
well,
afterwards. We don't know how much I'm actually up to on the naps here. We're not counting that up, Alex, eh?
I've got a spreadsheet outside. Do you want me to go and get it now?
No, I can tell you what I'm on right now.
Go on, then.
Right, I've won £37.50 last week.
Yeah.
But this is, we get the stake back, don't we? That's how this works.
Yeah, I've got it. Right, you keep talking. I'm going to go get it.
£87.50.
You keep talking.
Okay. Hello, everyone. Thank you for continually downloading the William Hill League podcast. There's some other great podcasts as well, News.William Hill, if you want to look at the golf podcast. Dave Tindall in great form at the moment, so too Mike Grenham and Dave Kellner. There's the fantastic rugby podcast, of course, with Mark Wilson, who really knows his onions. We've got the Punt podcast with Derek McGovern, of course, Lee, Dave Kellner, are all, of course, every week giving you the best from the Premier League. In-play radio, of course, with you every day, 5 till 10 weekdays, and weekends, 12 until 10 as well. So if you want to get your betting fix of both the very best anti-post and the very best in-play markets, then, of course, In-play radio, the best way to get hold of us. You can, of course, listen on your tuning app or, of course, on the William Hill app. Just click on the little radio. So if you just tap on the horse in the top left-hand corner, the radio drops down. Just choose In-play radio from there. Or you can go to the radio podcast tab on the William Hill website. So loads of ways to listen to all of that content as well, of course. So it's been a really good podcast this week. I've really enjoyed the league podcast so far this season.
I'm back.
Okay, hey, mate.
Did you enjoy that?
Yeah, I did really well, actually.
An audio treat.
Yeah.
£87.50 profit for you. £45.50 for myself and £29 for, Jack, but I'd imagine that will be inherited by Jason.
Yeah.
Unless he wants us to start on zero. But why would you? Because we're already showing a profit. So all three of us showing profit. You're in danger of reaching £100 here, Pete, early on in the season. So not bad at all, is it?
No, but I know that it can go very badly very quickly in this league. So no one getting cocky, believe me.
And on that note, we'll go. But best luck with all bets that you're having this weekend, and we'll be back next Thursday.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.